This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's get
this is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott.
I don't even know the number today. Man, jeez.
You get to turn your channel.
You get to turn your channel. I'm contractually obligated.
I'm in this with you, man. You think next season, if the Knicks are bad again, I expect you to change the channel? You're in this with me, man. I'm in this with you.
He's going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you.
I'm feeling when I'm looking at you on the postgame. I'm like, please, Bart, don't say anything too crazy. They're going to laugh at you.
What the hell you want me to say? I'm trying to put lipstick on a pig, man. And the pig is running. I don't understand. I can't say. Listen, I've been around and witnessed a lot outside of maybe the Dan Orlovsky Lions. I've never had to endure anything like this in my life. And I had to endure that because I'm a Lions fan. Grew up, born and raised Detroit. I'm a Lions fan. Mm-hmm. But even those games, they lost a lot of games in the last seconds, you know, things like that. This is like, okay. It's like, all right, first quarter, all right, yeah, game over. It's like, damn. Yeah. Like, can we even be in the game for, like, I would wonder how long have the Jets held the lead in any game this year?
Oh, I could tell you. Do you want to know? I actually have the exact number.
I do.
Do you want it?
Yes, please.
It's 16 minutes and 13 seconds, and it was all in one game.
poor Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had that backwards. It's 13 minutes and 16 seconds, and it was all in one game.
Y'all see what y'all did, Jets?
The Thursday loss to Denver. No other game have they held the lead. No other game.
Only the Jets. Only the Jets can make my boy Alan Hahn dyslexic. Y'all have made Hahn dyslexic. Y'all have scrambled the letters. He took 13 minutes and made it backwards to 16 because it was probably 36 seconds or 16 seconds, and he took the 16 seconds and put it in the front.
I just believe the worst. I believe the worst. And I'll tell you what. You know, like you talk about, you haven't seen anything this bad, right? Rich Cimini has seen – Rich Cimini's covered the Jets since they were the Titans. Like this, he goes back to like Shea Stadium. Like Rich Cimini is, it's amazing because the franchise older than he is, yet he's covered the franchise since before he was born. That's what it feels like anyway. And he literally tweeted during the game, "I've seen a lot of bad football. I can't remember it any worse than this."
And it's against the Dolphins.
Understand whose eyes you're talking to. This is the eyes of a man who has seen the butt fumble. This is the eyes of a man who has seen it all. Coat tight. He's seen it all. He's covered the most embarrassing moments in franchise history. And he says he's never seen anything worse than this.
I just don't know how he survives. By the way,
you want to add a little more salt to the wound? Last time the Dolphins shut out the Jets. You know what that was?
Last year,
That'd be the Mud Bowl. You can't even make that up. You can't make that up.
The fifth tragic led Dolphins.
Oh, then I got to see his face. What a phony he is, by the way. Yeah. And he's trying to do that. Remember, he's trying to do the hard count. He's trying to get them offside. And he's staring at Neville. Is it Hewitt?
Neville Hewitt, yeah.
And he's staring at him. And Hewitt just telling him, like, I'm not falling for it, right? And then he just grins.
Why not? I got to see that now. I would have jumped.
Just to tackle
him? I would have jumped over the line like Bobby Boucher and hit him helmet to helmet like, oh, you got me. That was one hell of a play fake. I thought you were about to do the Drew Brees dive. I would have backed up 12 yards, jumped over the line, and beheaded him.
Yeah, decleated.
It's like we're being like made fun of by the most average quarterback in NFL history. Like, he's the guy that you bring in, like, to settle the, like, he's John, he's John Kitna. Like, he's the guy that you come in, or he's Jeff Blake. He's the guy you call in to say, okay, just be a professional quarterback, get him lined up, and make the adjustments. By no means is he a guy that you really expect to win with. He's not a guy that you expect to go to the playoffs with. He's a guy that you expect to come in and be a professional quarterback.
And then, like, there's so much to it. You want more? I'll give you more. No, again, the most important number is the 800-919-3776. But there's a lot of people already on hold. We will get to everybody in the conversation. You could also get us on Twitter at Bart and Hahn. I'll do it for Bart because we got to do it fast. But here's some more useless stats for you. Adam Gase's Jets, by the way, this was the seventh time they've lost by 20 or more points since he's taken over as coach. Seven times. You know how many wins he has? Seven. Okay, so as many wins as he has, he's also lost by 20 or more. How bad do you have to be in the NFL to lose by 20 or more points seven times in your first 22 games? 22, that's it.
They look
30
lifeless.
Of games, you're getting smoked.
They look lifeless.
He has lost by double digits in 31 of 70 games as a head coach overall. That's per Elias, by the way. Highest percentage of regular season games lost by double digits in NFL history. For coaches with at least 70 games.
Man, at some point, listen, you just simplify it. Man, listen, these are five players we're going to run. We're going to figure them out. We're just going to flip-flop and run them out of different formations. Listen, like, I mean, Joe Flacco's running for his life. Like, I mean, as soon as he turned around off the play fake, somebody's right there to hit him in the face. You know what I mean?
Connor McGovern has not been good at center, by the way.
Listen, that is the great thing about having one-year contracts. You can fire – you talk about how many starters on the offensive line last year? Chad Lewis got to go. McGovern got to go. You can keep Fant. Edoga got to move in the guard, or he's one step from being cut.
Yeah, they missed Becton big time, of course.
Yeah, so Becton's going to be there. Edoga, like, is not working out at tackle. I'll move you to guard, left guard. Chad Lewis, you haven't played up to snuff. You got to go. Like, McGovern, I'll holler at you. Van Roten, is he even around? Has he even played?
Yeah.
He's been playing. He's actually been playing.
He's been. Like, it has, you know, they haven't been great, but again, as they say, it's a new line. They've got to get used to each other, blah, blah,
come
blah.
I don't want to hear that. Henry Anderson.
I mean, they're having McGovern pull at a set. He can't get there. They're running plays for him to block somebody while he's pulling. He can't get there. He just can't, and they're going to run it anyway. And then they're going to say, well, it's execution. Well, maybe it's because you have a loft issue, a lack of freaking talent. Yeah. So you shouldn't run the play.
You know what that play is?
It's like running a play for Frank Ntilikina to shoot a three when you're like, he can't shoot threes. So why would I run that play?
He has to execute it.
Right.
You know,
be a better shooter.
See, this is what happens when you have a talent, when you had a talented center, and then now you think that you can do the same thing with somebody that's less talented. That play is for Pouncey. That's Pouncey, who's one of the most athletic. The Pouncey brothers are one of the most athletic centers in the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can pull that play off.
Right.
He's probably one of maybe five centers that can pull that off. McGovern's not Pouncey.
It's a talent. I love it.
And you know the great.
It's a talent issue. It's a talent issue. I love it. We're going to run the same play that we run for LeBron, but instead, we're going to have Kevin Knox do it.
Exactly.
And when Kevin Knox can't do it, well, come on. The player's got to execute.
He's got to execute. The players are there. And poor Frank.
It's there.
Frank fighting for his boy all the way to the end, man. He the band on the Titanic going down.
Gore.
I promise you, I'm not just saying this.
Gore.
The plays are there. Like, Frank. Come on, Frank. Frank.
Well, the other thing that doesn't make sense is that Piron got few, and even though
seven
neither
carries.
Running back got any work at all, Piron got less carries than Frank Gore did.
It goes on and on.
McLennan gets traded McLennan gets traded. Tell me what did you read out of the fact? Was that Joe Douglas just watching the game and then going, "Let me get my guy out of here"?
If I'm McLennan, I'm like, man, listen. I don't want nothing from New York. I'm staying here. I'm just going to take the drive over to Tampa. I'm good. Thank you guys very much. God bless y'all. Good luck. I wouldn't want none of that contaminated stuff from New York. I'm just leaving my stuff. Like, I may not even go back and get it. I'm just going to drive over to Tampa and go hug Tom. Because, you know, if Vitae or whatever who blew his knee out, and they need a big body, a big presence there. You know what I mean? And that's really leaning on Todd Bowles saying, listen, McLennan's my guy. I brought him in. Mm-hmm. I know what he can do. He bring great leadership, and he's a pro. Man, that's why you don't not play hard. That's why you always play hard, because you never know where that person is that you play hard for appreciates it and where he's going to end up at. And it's because he played hard for Bulls even when it wasn't popular, when you were losing, and he finished like a pro and he wasn't a distraction, that Bulls would even vouch for him to save him. Now, just think, he goes from the worst team in the league to an opportunity to play with the GOAT and be on a great unit in a defense that he already knows where he can get out of here. Listen, Avery Williams, I'm telling you, I go to that office, I say, listen, I know y'all didn't like me before, please, oh, please send me to Pittsburgh. They 5-0. Y'all going to cut me after next year. They just lost Devin Bush.
Too, yep.
But if you look at what Avery Williamson was doing yesterday, in a lost game when they weren't going to win, he was scraping people up. All those little loud noises you heard on the boom was from Avery Williamson coming across, playing hard, running to the football, and doing his job. So those type of things are supposed to get rewarded. Hey, y'all like Blake Cashman? Blake Cashman's going to be here. He was a drafted player, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm saying, listen, thank y'all for everything, but it's time for me to go. If he can go to Pittsburgh and be able to play and be able to go to Blitzburg, he can revitalize his career, right?
Nobody say it.
See, he's like, nobody say, please help me.
That's exactly
help
what this is.
Me.
Get out. Like, that's literally what this has become. This has become that. And almost like Frank Gore is the one that's under the spell.
Man,
he's
please,
just trying
please.
To. It's this is his, like I said, Rich Cimini has seen
Frank
a lot
got
of
nowhere
Jets
to go.
Football.
Frank got
for
nowhere
him to say
else to
this
go.
Is the worst. For Rich Cimini to say this is the worst he's ever seen, that's saying a lot, everybody. Yo, that's saying a lot. Now, again, everybody's like, well, why does Gase keep his job? Why would you?
We got to watch it.
No. See, no. I because I feel like we'll have Rex Ryan on in the noon hour, as we always do each week, and we're definitely going to talk to him about this stuff for sure. Curious to see what he thinks. But I do feel like you're at that point. We just mentioned P. Ryan. We mentioned, like, veterans that want to get out of here, which means you're going to start now playing your younger players, right?
Yep.
So, like, you're going to do that, and you're going to tell me that I want a guy that can't coach young players? Because what did we – all the things you want to say about Adam Gase – I will say that it's pretty clear that this guy's not a teacher. He's a tactician. He's an XO kind of, you know, this is a system. But he's not a guy that's going to teach. He's not a guy that's going to work with young players and develop and make them better, coach them up. So get me somebody that will do that, because the rest of this season is going to be about what do I have and what do I don't have. You have 10 weeks left, or 11, to figure out what do I have and what do I don't have. And when Sam comes back, I still need to know what I have in him, because you've got the best chance now to get the number one pick. And when you do, you've got two options to go forward with, and they're not both of them you can make a case for. I got to know by the end of this season, what do I have and what do I don't have so I can go forward. And I need a teacher that's going to get at least teach players what to do and put him in positions to succeed so I know what I have. Don't you agree with me, Bart? I've reached that point now. If you're not firing this guy, this is the mistake. The mistake is you're then going to continue to perpetuate somebody that's going to now be just desperate for wins because he knows how bad this looks on his. What is he coaching for at this point other than to prove he's right? I can't have a guy like that now anymore. I can't afford that guy anymore. I'd rather pay you to get the hell out of here. So why? And I don't think Greg Williams is the answer either. I need somebody that's going to teach. So by the end of the year, at least I got a feel for what my roster is, instead of just saying the coach was bad, he got nothing out of the talent that you do have.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see P. Ryan at running back. We need to see Hernan and say, Hernan, this is your audition, or we just going to cut you.
Well, somebody's got to light a fire under his ass.
Right.
Right.
I need to see Mims next week. I need to 100%. See Mims. 100%. I need to see Mims, Perryman, Crowder, P. Ryan. That's what I need to see. Becton. I need to see Ndoga, too. I need to see Ndoga. Listen, I understand Van Ryden.
Empower them all.
I'm saying Van Ryden. I feel you, Chad Lewis, but I'm about to see if this young dude that's in his second year with all this talent, with all this feet, they talk about him like he's Vladimir Dukas, right? And remember, Vladimir Dukas was great ankle bend. He was fast. He was strong. And he's a personal friend of mine. He lives in Brooklyn. We still talk to this day. But he just never materialized into the player that he was supposed to be. I need to see if Ndoga is built in that same mold, just a guy that's going to look the part but not be able to play the part. So I want to put this guy at guard to see if he can be my future guard next to Becton, so I can know, because at this point, Chad Lewis can't stay, Van Rutten can't stay, and McGovern can't stay. So I'm looking like, okay, maybe I can keep Fant. So I got Fant, I got Mekhi Becton. I need to see if this kid Ndoga can play left guard. And then next year I'm looking for a center and I'm looking for a right guard. Simple as that, because these guys have not panned out and they don't even look good. Joe Flacco's getting way too much interior pressure.
What was with the two out routes that they did right out of the gate?
No,
back to back. What were those? Weren't they just go routes? Weren't they just
basically
they were go routes.
They were go routes in Perriman because
he underthrew and overthrew. Like, what are we doing there?
Right. He overthrew because Perriman stopped running. He underthrew because maybe he was trying to throw it like he thought he should throw it the second time, and he ran it like he was supposed to the first time. So, like, what's happened is it's like bad timing because, you know, it's like somebody run and you're like, well, man, he's not fast as I thought he was.
So let me throw it
like I would have threw it the last time, so he took a little off, and then was underthrow because I think Perriman, and he said it after the game, I stopped running.
Yes.
He started looking up for the ball way too much. That comes from a lack of time and lack of plays with each other.
But I thought practice has been fantastic.
But he's been hurt, right? It's been fantastic, but he's been hurt. And how many times have they practiced the timing?
Then why run that play then?
Because
exactly
they were
trying, my point. What are you?
No, it was open, and you were trying to loosen up.
Get somebody on him.
No, the first play, he was open, and he slowed down and let the guy catch up. If he just kept running, he misjudged the football. He had the guy by 2 yards. If he just kept running, he would have walked into the end zone.
Okay.
And he blamed himself for that. He blamed himself in the press conference because I'm forced to watch every press conference after the game. I have to. I'm contractually obligated.
Yes, you are.
And he said that I stopped running, and I shouldn't have stopped running.
I feel your pain, by the way. I feel your pain. What you're going through this year, understand. I've been there with you, man. I've been there.
I understand. Listen, we can now empathize
with
each other.
I'm staring at Bill Pito, and we're like, what the hell do we possibly talk about here?
And the thing is, you have like 50-plus games where you have to do that. I don't know how you do it, brother. I don't know how you do it. It takes a piece of your soul out.
It really does, but you start to, like I said, you start to then just focus on players that are keepers. You stop wasting your energy on guys that you know are on the, you know, they're out, they're going to be gone. Like, I'm not putting my energy into somebody that's not going to be part of whatever's going forward. And you just say, who are the guys? And that's why I'm telling you, the rest of this season for the Jets, Christopher Johnson, I beg you, you've got to understand, the rest of the season for your franchise is going to be about who are my keepers. Who are guys that I can continue to build with? Because you'll say, people want to say, well, just blow it up and start. No. You can't ever just blow it up and start over. This is not like knocking a house down.
Right.
There are pieces here. We know this, but now I've got to see who do I believe in as part of my future? And who do I see, all right, this isn't really somebody we're going to build with. But the only way you do that is not with a coach who's now trying to save his neck and prove himself right by winning games or doing whatever it takes to prove himself. Get rid of this guy. Don't use this guy properly. No. I need a teacher in here who's going to see the talent and play the talent in a simple way, obviously because it's midseason, that is going to get something out of what I have. So at the end of this year, I know what do I have and what do I don't have and what do I do with that pick. Because that pick, if it's number one, you can go either way, and you can make an argument. And I know you've definitely made the argument on trading the pick, and other people say you can't pass on a talent like Trevor Lawrence. This is not as easy as it seems. And, of course, it's not because it's the Jets.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a challenge.
And then, you know, the more and more you see the kid play and more the Jets look like this, more and more the sentiment is going to be that you got to take the kid.
But he shreds Georgia Tech and Georgia. Every receiver he threw to was wide open.
Yeah, but
it wasn't a window; it was a door.
But the thing is, we have that national championship when this kid was a true freshman and what he did to the number one team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In the land and how he shredded that team and how his athleticism. He's the modern day mobile quarterback, but he's like 6'5". So he gives you the best of both worlds. Like, he's the pocket quarterback height. But then he imagine Josh Allen with more touch. That's essentially what this kid is.
Yeah, I understand.
And he's a winner.
I understand, but there's so much.
It's going to be hard.
You can either get the quarterback and still need so much to put around him, or
that's up to Sam.
You believe you have Sam, and you just then get as many assets as you can to build around Sam. It's not an easy answer. We do have World Series now set up beginning tomorrow night as the Dodgers won their Game 7 yesterday over the Braves, and a lot of Atlanta fans are just now lamenting the fact that Atlanta teams just never seem to come through in the clutch. But you have now Dodgers versus Rays. You have pitching versus hitting. What do you think's going to win in that one? I mean, I thought this was an amazing stat. The Dodgers led the majors in home runs this season, right? And that's become the thing, right? Home run, you know, all or nothing. The Yankees have followed this as well. But, Bart, think about this. The last team to reach the World Series that led the majors in home runs, how far back do you think it goes?
Let's go, since you said that, I'm going to think about the 98 Yankees.
Well, I mean, the 09 Yankees. It's still a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Can you imagine that? Like, the team that hit the most home runs in the sport never seems to make the, at least in the last decade,
right,
doesn't make the World Series. And this one almost didn't.
Yeah, and they, man, how heartbreaking.
And we don't want to change the plan, though.
How heartbreaking is it for, you know, the Atlanta Braves to be right there, to have that type of lead and not be able to close the door?
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean? You saw
brutal.
Acuña in the dugout just
dejected, yeah. And you can understand.
And knew this was probably their best opportunity. This was a great opportunity for them to really steal one and mm-hmm. be that surprise. But now you talk about, you know, the greatest home run team against a great set of pitchers. And I'm so happy that the Astros didn't get let off the hook, man.
Oh, please, yes.
Oh, I did not want to see that crap, man. I did not want to see it. You know what I mean? But then the Dodgers.
The Astros were insufferable. Like, it would have been brutal to just see them in the World Series. Absolutely brutal. Hey, by the way, you and I had a great weekend picks-wise.
Ah.
6-0, baby. And we both took Washington and the 2.5. And it got a little dicey.
We got the half.
It got a little dicey, but
Riverboat Ron.
20-19. The Giants win. Basically, there's no overtime because Rivera goes for two with 36 seconds left for the win.
Should we have a new
And I
got to
ask you out of the gate, do you like that from your coach? Do you say, like,
no,
yeah, let's go for it?
Or
what are we doing here?
No. Listen, bro, you ain't got Tom Brady or Drew Brees back there, man. Listen, it's so much easier to defend a two-point conversion because it's less field to defend. So it happens sudden, and if your first read isn't there, then you're scrambling and trying to figure things out. I mean, this is crazy, man. Like, I don't know if we should change it from Riverboat Ron to Reckless Ron.
Oof.
You know what I mean? Because, like, he had opportunity. On the road, you're always taught to go for the tie. You go for the win at home. You go for the tie on the road. And he did his team a disservice. Because this is an opportunity. They did the work, got down there, tied it up. You know, that would have been a great moment for Kyle Allen to go into overtime and have a possibility, a chance to win. You give yourself more options to win because both teams get the ball. So if you get it, you go down and score, you win. You get the ball, you go down and kick a field goal, they got to go down there and score.
Yes.
So, like, you know, it's more ways for you to win. It's more different opportunities for you to win if you just go into overtime and you just coming off of scoring, so your offense is feeling good, their defense is feeling dejected, and if you win the coin toss, they're right back out there.
Let me ask you this: the coin toss. What are the chances of the coin toss? What do you win? What's your winning percentage on a coin toss?
I mean,
it's obvious. It's obvious. What's your winning percentage on a coin toss?
50%.
50%. All right. Do you know in the last 2 years? This is according to OverTheCap.com. In the last two NFL seasons, the success rate of a 2-point conversion is 49.4%.
So that's less than 50.
Yeah, well, just barely, but still, so to say, like, you know, it's a risk. It's the same as saying we could get the ball first or not in overtime. That's how I think he was reading it that way. But he also basically put it the way he put it was interesting too. How he just said that when you're trying to learn how to win, you have to play to win. And Joe Judge even said that they were expecting the 2-point conversion because that's sort of been their background, so he wasn't caught off guard by it either. Doesn't matter. This is a New York town, so the Giants win, and they're 1-5. And whatever happens tonight with Dallas,
quit saying it like that. Don't say it like that,
Alan. You're saying they lost.
No. Say it like no. Don't say that. Don't say their record. Say they're a half a game out of first place. That's what Giants fans want to see. That's how you put the positive spin on that thing, baby.
Depending on what happens tonight against Arizona, Monday Night Football, if Dallas loses to 2-4, you're a game out. Like, you're literally right there on the door.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
So say it like that. We don't need to know the specifics.
Now, Daniel Jones had an interesting day. Only 12 for 19, 112 yards, one touchdown. That interception. People are going to kill him for the interception. I'm telling you, Bart. He's trying to throw it out of the back of the end zone. It just doesn't get. By the way, the catch, his elbow was on the mark. Like he barely, like that could have gone either way on the call. I'm not killing him for that. But he runs for 74 yards once again, leading the team in rushing. And that 49 yard run was pretty impressive stuff as well.
And he was pulling away from some guys. He had some guys that he was starting. You know, objects made smaller in the rear view. You know what I'm saying? And it took the little Mighty Mouse dude to catch up with him. He barely got him.
I'm telling you, like
fake the whole camera.
Anthony doesn't like coming on the air. I don't think he's going to if I ask him right now.
Come on, Anthony.
But it's the Giants, our resident Giants fan. He is as apathetic about this, and there is something that they're doing there that I like. They're not there. They still have some talent they got to get.
Do you like Andrew Thomas?
I feel like Andrew Thomas was benched because he missed a meeting. So they benched him.
How the hell you miss a meeting?
Well, he did.
Was he out there with Geno, and did he forget that there was daylight saving time? We ain't had that yet, have
we? Oh, man, that story. But still, like this game was interesting for me to watch. I know both teams aren't very good, but you're looking for something to believe in, and the Giants at least are providing you a little something to believe in.
The fighting Joe Judges.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Like I feel that way. I feel like they're giving you something to believe in.
It's interesting that you bring up the interception, though, Alan.
Okay, yeah.
Because I was watching Red Zone. Because I can't, I can't watch the full four quarters.
You pretend like you did. Then you texted me, telling me you were watching. You were watching.
So it's interesting you bring that up because as that play was happening, both Nick Foles and Carson Wentz had similar plays where they had to throw out of the back of the end zone, and they found a way to throw it out of the back of the end zone.
Okay.
So if not for the interception, if not for two defensive plays, an interception by Bradbury, and the scoop and score by Mr. Irrelevant, Tate Crowder.
How about that?
The offense. Only scored one touchdown in the red zone in four opportunities, and one of them was an interception. Graham Gano is their best offensive player, and he's a kicker. And as Chris points out, kickers aren't people.
Can't he?
So and if not for them going for two, they lose the game. So why, should I be excited? Please tell me, outside of the fact that they look competitive, why I should be excited.
Because they look competitive, which is a stark contrast to what you saw last year.
But man, like how many more games do you think they're going to win? What's the over-under on their record?
Did it start at 6? Did the season start at 6? Because I don't think they're getting to 6.
Versus Bucks, at Washington, versus Philly, bye week at Cincinnati. This is your stretch right now.
If they got the two, what would we be saying today? What would we be saying today if they got the two-point conversion?
Well, they'd be
another competitive game for the Giants. I know they're 0-6 now, but hey, Philly hasn't looked great, so maybe they can get the game against Philly, and they never beat Philly.
Wow.
So if you think I have any confidence that they're going to go into Philly and beat Philly, regardless of how bad they looked, I don't think that's happened either. I'm sorry, Giants fans.
Philly almost came back and rallying back against the Ravens, and then what Philly did against the Steelers the week before, they may start off slow, but man, they're a scrappy group, man. So
it was like last year too, wasn't it, with Philly?
Yeah,
they started so poorly, and then they got it going by the end. And Doug Peterson was asked about the team's record, 1-4-1. What do you think about that? He's like, we're right where we should be. That 1-4-1. I guess he's basically telling you, we're not ready.
Listen,
we're
not ready. Okay. But it's okay, though, because the rest of the division stinks so bad. Listen, if it's ever an argument to be made that if a division is under 500, that they should forfeit their spot, especially because you think about, teams in the NFC West, they might
you shouldn't
end
get
up
a bye like, as a division. Yeah.
You should have to be the road
not
team.
Not a bye, a home. You shouldn't get a home bid. That's what it is, right?
Yeah,
that's the number one.
That's crazy that the winner of this division may be like 6-10.
Can you imagine 6-10 winning the division? 800-919-3776. We got the calls figured out. We go to Joseph in Woodland Park. Joseph.
Hi, guys. I just want to say I might be the oldest Jet fan in creation. I had season tickets the first year Namath came up when I was a sophomore in college.
Wow.
And you thought it was a good thing going forward. Yeah. You're like, name it balling, man. We're going to be good forever, man. We're going to be a dynasty.
Yes.
You got that right, Bart. But, it comes down to it. I coached high school ball because I was a teacher for 48 years. So,
thank you for your service. But anyway, by that, listen, everybody here trying to teach our kids, man. Listen, teachers need raises.
Yes.
I appreciate that. And, as a coach, if you don't have the horses to do what you want to do, you better change your outlook and try to find ways to make the guys you have be better ball players.
Thank you.
Gase does absolutely nothing like that. He is such an arrogant SOB that he doesn't want, everything's got to be his way.
I wonder, though, you know what, Joseph, I wonder this, and thanks for the call, and also thank you for your years of teaching. Trust me, we both know how important that is. But I need to, is Gase arrogant, or is he like, is this all, it's all he knows? Like, that could be the other issue that we just don't realize. But just, it's really, he doesn't know any other way. Like,
he doesn't know how to come off. Well, but you have enough people.
I agree, but still.
You have enough people around you, though. Come on, Jim Bob Cooter.
I was giving him too much credit.
But Jim Bob Cooter had, let's be honest, he had a great offense in Detroit. So if you don't know, then you hire those. And he have enough people around him with football acumen that they can collectively come out and figure it out.
The biggest issue I have with Gase, he's not a leader of men. I mean, it's pretty clear. Not a leader of men. And when you have a young team, you have to have a leader of men. Now, let's go to Ron in Queens. Ron.
Alan Hahn, I'm going directly to you first, because last week when I called and said that Adam Gase was the worst coach in Jets history, you tried to give me coach height. Have you changed your mind yet?
I have absolutely changed my mind, yes.
Let me go a step further for you. I saw something yesterday that I've never seen in any football game ever in life. Did you recall when you were watching the broadcast when he was sitting on the bench by himself and there was like nobody near him, like he was like seven innings into a no-hitter in baseball? I've never seen anything like that before. Like, he's literally sitting by himself and like, no, like there was no like rookie who tried to get a little bit of favor to come next to him. He was just sitting there. And the only other thing that gave me joy at this point in time was Joe Flacco's face. Because his face, like, embodied, like, burned-out gym teacher, or, like, you know, the deli guy who gave you a little bit too much meat, even though you're asked for half a pound. Like, Joe Flacco was just like, listen, I don't care, bro. Like, whatever it is, I'm good. But
What about Joe Douglas' face, man?
The face, he was the man.
The mask, but you knew what it was through the mask. Like this is bad. And you know, Boomer Esiason and Bill Cowher taking shots during the halftime show, and James Lofton trying so hard to be gentlemanly about the fact that he's calling the team quitters. Yeah. I've never seen anything like this, man. Thanks for the phone call, guys.
Thank you, Ron. I mean, it's so true too. You heard Lofton throughout the game. It was like he kept saying, he got to a point where he's like, let's just start talking about what the Dolphins are doing. Like enough of beating up the Jets, because it's pretty obvious. This is just a bad football team. It's a bad football team. It's poorly coached. It's falling apart.
Bad.
And there's just not a lot of, you
and
can just
week
see
week six.
There's not a lot of emotion. Yo. You know what, Bart, again, and I think of you, because I think of guys, and I can't wait to talk to Rex about this at noon. I think of guys like you, guys with emotion, and you know there's guys on that team that have emotion. And you see a group that goes to the going through the motions and sort of just, I feel like you could say all you want, well, the roster just doesn't have enough talent. You could say that there's not enough skill, high level skill. But anybody that plays in the NFL, you've got something about you that got you there. And there comes a time where you just get the game plan from a coach and you go, yeah, no, this ain't it. And if you don't 100% believe in what you're doing, and you don't put the practice in the way you're supposed to prepare for a game, you ain't winning, and you're going to look like you're non-competitive doing it. That's the biggest issue I have with this group. I really do. We'll get back to the calls, 800-919-3776. But, Bart, right now it's time for the Jets quote of the game.
Ooh.
I just think when we watch film, man, I'm tired of us being like, oh, we should have made this instead of just making it. You know, it's there. I'm being real. Like, I'm not trying to take off our head coach, because it's out there. You know, when you watch film, we just got to make the play. We got to make the right reads when our O-line getting us a hole. You know, we got to make the catch. You know, we just got to, and that's how you win. Continue to have drives going, to get a chance to get in the red zone, get a chance to score touchdowns.
And then after that, you hear this.
Sink.
That's what it sounds like. That was a Jets quote of the game. If you were watching Jets postgame live, starring Bart Scott, Jonas Schwartz, and Janae Coakley on SNY after yesterday's game.
We're trying to figure out if our movie a tragedy or is it a comedy?
It's a tragic comedy. You know which player or coach that was. So be the first caller to correctly identify the player or coach right now. This is the number, by the way, 888-987-ESPN. Again, 888-987-ESPN for your chance to win a piece of official Jets merchandise. The Jets quote of the game brought to you by SNY.
Get your New York sports here.
98.7 ESPN. Yeah, radio home.
Even our borders, like, I'm tired, man.
Yeah, everybody's out. Yeah. Like, it's just, we're all
New York sports.
Here's what I want, though.
Let's get East New York sports here. Let's talk about Buffalo. We're going to start claiming Buffalo
that's
Bills.
That's Western New York. Yeah, Western New York. Yeah. Buffalo Bills, who played today, played this afternoon. 5 o'clock Monday night football, whatever that you want to call it.
What the hell?
But here's
that?
What I want to know, because you heard Anthony on the Giants. You heard Anthony and his sad sack, just woe is me, Eeyore kind of response to your first win of the season. He's so out of it. He's apathetic. He's like, nothing's good. And I want to hear from a Giants fan who disagrees with him. Or is he right? I watched the Giants. Maybe it's just I'm watching through, you know, the green glasses that I'm wearing because the Jets are so horrible that I'm looking and saying, you know what? I see something here. I see that there's something that might take a little time to grow, but I kind of I'm buying into Joe Judge and what they're trying to do there. Am I crazy or is Anthony right? Bart, Anthony is down. He feels like the Giant win was not really a win. He's apathetic about his team.
Oh, and I like Joe Judge, by the way. I know that doesn't sound like I do, but I do like it.
Yeah, you sound like you're down on everything. I can't imagine you're down on everything, but are you feeling like you can't win games because just like Chase Young, you're going to miss out on Trevor Lawrence? Or are you just like, I don't see any progress yet?
No, I believe that I like what the defense is doing because I just don't think they have a lot of talent and they've managed to keep them in games.
They got plenty of talent. They got a former number one draft pick, two former draft picks.
How'd we get that one again? I forget. Oh, right, a trade. Yeah,
yes. Yeah, but you also had one Dexter Lawrence. Did you forget that he was a top 10
Leonard
pick?
Leonard Williams actually playing well. Is he playing all right? Like, he's playing
pretty well. So y'all listen. Y'all.
He's doing it again.
Y'all got Blake Martinez.
I'd love to see Xavier McKinney when he's healthy. Fackrell, to see what he
I mean,
can do.
Fackrell's been all over the field, too.
Yeah, y'all got Blake Martinez. Then you got Bradberry, who's a lockdown corner. Mm-hmm. You got Logan Ryan, who's just a playmaker. And you got Jabril Preppers, who's a first-round draft pick. Y'all got more number ones.
Should the offense be playing better, yes or no? Even with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, the offense has had its issues, but you can't run the ball. I mean, your quarterback's leading you in rushing. That's a big issue.
And when you can't run the ball, you can't do anything.
No, that's a problem.
Forgive me for being slightly pessimistic. I will change my attitude.
No,
I understand.
By
the way, Jack on Twitter, Jack Ben Lifted on Twitter said, Anthony's right. The Giants are 32A. The Jets are 32B in the NFL. That's a
problem. They ain't wrong.
Damn. 800-919-3793. So I imagine this week when they do the power rankings on ESPN, they'll just stick to it where it's, you know, each team's weakness. The Jets' weakness is football. That is one of the most epic things I've ever seen. Hey, you know what? As we're talking Giants, Bart, let's take Tessa and Wes Caldwell. Come on, Tess.
Listen, I was a little nervous to call you guys today. I'm like, damn, they lost 24-0. I don't even know if I should call today because, you know, we got the dub, but
numb.
I was nervous, but
I don't
Anthony
feel
reassured me I was okay.
I don't feel a thing right now.
Yeah,
nothing.
I was a little
nervous. I was like, whoa, they going to really go in on me tomorrow.
I was more anxious about Bart on the post-game show dropping an F-bomb.
I almost did.
Yeah, I know you were close.
Real, real numb yesterday. I was watching like, where's Bart staring at? He looked real like dazed and just like, I don't want to be here.
I mean, the suit was on point. You got to admit, the suit was on point.
Oh, Bart,
I mean, he's looking
good.
He got the juicy
point,
berries
you
in his hair.
Like, you was like an out-of-body experience. Like, I don't want to be here. Yeah. Why do I even have to talk? I'm reading a teleprompter. I don't care about nothing. I'm saying. That's how you look.
It's an icebox where my heart used to be, Tessa.
Wow.
Listen, I'm gonna keep it real. 100. You know me, guys.
Yep.
I do understand exactly where Anthony's coming from because I'm not lying. I ran up and down the steps so many times in anger, beating the wall up, like, oh my God, we're gonna lose this game. And it was just terrible. It was a terrible feeling. So the only thing I disagree with Anthony is just to get dub, just to get the win. We haven't won since December 2019. It did feel so the relief and the, oh my God, thank God we got one. We not going 0-16. I'm gonna be honest with you. That's how
I
felt.
Great. That's
so
nice
it did
one,
feel real good to get a win, but he is right. I'm be honest with you. No, I'm not on the Trevor Lawrence bandwagon. You know, I've always been souped about Joe Judge and what's his name? Oh, Daniel Jones, because he gets on my nerve now. But I'm really kind of over him. He's like an Eli Jr., but you're not Eli, so you know how much I love Eli. Even the way he dresses in his press conference, I'm like, oh my God, they really did get a guy that's just like Eli, but he's worse than Eli. I mean, the mistakes and he can't get it right.
Alternative universe Eli.
It's like Eli 1.2. It's not even a 2.0. You're not even there yet. But I'm like over him. But our defense does give me so much hope. And that, but I do understand what Anthony's saying. I'm like, oh my God, they don't have no respect for us. They're going for two. I don't care about Riverboat Ron. You don't have no respect for us. That's why you're going for two. He is so right. I had a hole in my stomach, and I was ready to put myself in. I was just ready to put myself in the corner. You know how I get, Allen taking thumbs and rocking in the corner.
I hear you. I'll tell you what. Why didn't Kyle Allen just run that in, Barry? Did you?
Jabril Peppers was speeding over.
Stop. The minute he hesitated, it was over. He took that one half step, and it was done. Like, his window was very small, but he had a chance.
That's the excitement I had with the defense, because they played that so well. They could have easily done. I'm not saying gave up. They could just like, all right, let's go to overtime. They played the hell out of that play. But well, I do feel excited because it's a W. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, with all of New York losing, just to get a W, like, I do feel excited about that. But you're right. Anthony's right. Like, I just, like, you know, our offense is trash, and it's in the garbage. Like, I'm so trash. You know how I feel about that. Daniel Jones, I'm sorry. I'm not jumping on the Trevor Lawrence bandwagon because I would never do that, but I'm off the Daniel Jones bandwagon.
Awesome.
But I'm Joe Judge.
See,
I'm for him and our defense.
Yeah, the
thank
thing
you,
is,
Tess. Good
thing
to hear
is,
first.
The thing is, you don't want Gettleman to get let off the hook. The fact that Thomas hasn't played well, the fact that some of the draft picks and free agents that he brought in hasn't played well, the fact that you're paying Leonard Williams $13 million to give you that, you know, he's playing better, but what are we comparing somebody to when we're giving them $13 million? You expect a lot better than that. And so we've let Gabe Gettleman off the hook. We don't want to let Dave Gettleman off the hook, because don't let this one win blind you. You know what I mean? You're 1-5, and you got Philadelphia, you got the Tampa Bay, now you got...
Yeah, the next two weeks aren't... Yeah, and you got Washington. I told you, you've got Washington in Washington. Yes.
So then, you know, teams usually play, listen, you give a team 3 points at home. So now that 3 points, that same performance is not going to be there. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at, like, you know, I'm looking at maybe the Redskins are two. They may say if they split with the Eagles, that's three. The Bengals, man, had Indianapolis on the ropes. This dude, Joe Burrow, and the weapons that he have, you know, whether it's Tyler Boyd, you think about A.J. Green, you think about, you know, Mixon. And remember, they spent their last two picks on first-round offensive linemen.
Right.
So he was just out all last year. So this team isn't as bad or loss of talent as people may think. Then they got the Bengals, which that can be an up-and-down game. So let's just say they get to four. They're not beating Seattle. They may be.
No, the schedule then after this.
Yeah, they're not beating Cleveland. They're not beating the Ravens. They're not beating. Well, they could beat Dallas. So, like, they're gonna win 6 points. And what does that put them? Or 6 wins, 5 wins. Where'd that put them? Right in the middle, Allen. Right where you don't want to be as an organization.
Well, didn't you just say 6 wins could win the division?
Yeah, well, five. They're playing Dallas the last week for the division.
They have one. Let's see where they can go from here. It's not about the wins and losses, as everybody upstairs with the Giants will tell you. What they're telling you is you want to see that tangible progress week to week, and by the end of the season, you want to have something to believe in. And I just feel like the Giants are at least trending that way. The Jets, of course, are trending down all the way to the bottom. And how far can they go? The sky's the limit. Before we get to audio files, oh Bart, we gotta talk about this fight, Lopez Lomachenko, and I mean, I don't know if it's an upset, but everybody was talking about his win, a unanimous decision. Now the 119-102 score by one judge seemed a little bit lopsided. I know you have a take on it. You and Peter Rosenberg did a great show Saturday night leading into fight night, which was terrific. Look, Lopez paid out at +315, so a lot of people believed in him. But they're calling him now boxing's next superstar. What did you think about this fight?
I mean, listen, he's charismatic. He has a father that's controversial. He blabs off a lot. And listen, the kid came in and he looked prepared. I think, you know, you heard the cast and you heard, you know, Andre Ward saying, you know, that, hey, he didn't expect him to have this much hand speed and be this athletic. But I thought, you know, early on when you see a lot of, you know, seasoned veterans that's been in a lot of big fights before, they figure they can catch you late in the process. And that's what Lomachenko was doing. He was trying to let this kid punch himself out and try and get some steam off of his power punches, because he he is a devastating puncher. But I thought in the second half of that fight, from the seventh round to probably the 11th, I thought that that was all Lomachenko. And Lomachenko started to touch him and started to take more risk because he had to. But, you know, I thought that the kid showed a lot of heart when he came out in the 12th round. Instead of letting that momentum come, he went for broke, because I don't think, you know, like his father said, oh, we got this. I thought that that fight was going to determine possibly who was going to win, or if it was going to be a draw. You know, I would love to see a rematch. I think if they did it again, you hear Lomachenko talk about, you know, being off for 14 months, and you heard, you know, also you heard, you know, you heard Lopez saying, hey, that he thought that he was going to come out slow because of that break. Well, now he's had a fight, so if they fight again in 8 months, it'll be something different. You don't just take four belts from somebody and then go on to somebody else, mm-hmm. especially when you watch that fight over again. I think the closer people are going to find that fight, because he definitely won the second round. If he won four rounds or five rounds in the second half, then that's 6-6. So for me, I want to see it again. But, you know, I think that he's a good fighter in that division. But if he ever wants to go up to his natural body weight, because he's going to be bigger and grow out of the division and go to a welterweight, he has Bud Crawford sitting there. He has Errol Spence sitting there. You know, he can want to say that he beat the pound-for-pound champion. To me, it's been Bud Crawford. And Bud Crawford is on a collision course with Errol Spence, you know, who has a fight with Garcia, another, you know, great fighter that when he gets to the big stage just can't get the big win. But he's been knocking on the doorstep. He's a capable fighter. But for me, you know, my money's worth. I'd rather see it again. But then he's talking a lot of smack. You know, you got Garcia sitting there, the Golden Boy clone. You know what I mean? He has a huge Instagram following, and you know, he's a very charismatic young man. You know, the flash, you know, flash for the dramatic. But then you got Devin Haney there. Like, you know, before we go there, let's talk about Haney. And he was talking about, listen, the division in boxing is in a great position. And while I like boxing over UFC, I can appreciate what the UFC does, but everybody has an L there. And because what happens is the better fighter usually wins in boxing, because you have a standing eight that if you get clipped, you get opportunity to recover from it, mm-hmm. and to do it again. In boxing, even a bum can clip somebody and it's over with, because you get to pounce on them. So that's why I like boxing.
You mean, you mean UFC? You mean
UFC, because you get to pounce on them. You know, I like boxing because if you make a mistake and you get somebody, you got to get them more than once. You can't just clip them and catch them with a lucky punch, or catch them with something and then pounce on them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you could. Yeah. This is two different styles, obviously, but there's a lot of excitement about Lopez, a Brooklyn guy. You know, Mike Tyson last night shouting him out, another Brooklyn champion. So a lot of excitement around him. We'll see if they do end up getting that rematch and where it goes. But still, for boxing, as they keep looking for different superstars, and we're obviously waiting for the next heavyweight fight to come around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, obviously see when
Tyson Fury mm-hmm,
gets back into the ring. So, but still, this was a lot of fun on a Saturday night, and it was on ESPN. It was free to watch.
$3.99.
Yeah, it was actually, it was definitely something to tune into, and was certainly a lot of fun. 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll keep calls rolling. We do have Lunch Money coming up as well. We got two games tonight on Monday Night Football to talk about. But right now, we go around the world of sports in Audio Files.
The Audio File.
I say NFL, we did talk a little bit with Rex about this, but we haven't had a chance to spend too much time on it. And that is what was I don't know, Bart, were you surprised by the Bucs, 38-10? I mean, you're looking forward to Rodgers and Brady. And by the way, we gave you the numbers on Friday, how Rodgers just doesn't seem to do well on the road against Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks. Yep. And Brady just seems to feast when he's at home against great quarterbacks. They've only met each other. This is now their third meeting. And this is a blowout, though. And this was ugly. It got ugly quick because Rodgers threw two picks, and including a pick six. It was his first interception of the season, and it was a pick six. And, man, the game just turned at that point, didn't it?
No, absolutely. And you talk about, you know, they were up 10-0. It looked like they had the game in hand. It looked like the offense for the Buccaneers was sputtering. Then he found the old faithful Gronk and things got rolling.
Oh,
but
man.
I said, but if anybody had watched me on Get Up on Friday, while everybody was taking Aaron Rodgers and how it looked, I said, listen, man, it is a fatal flaw in this Green Bay team. And the fact that when they go against teams that can run the ball, that they struggle because that defense can get exploited and they play a certain way. And you heard me and Rex talk about it as well.
Yep.
That system was made around impact inside linebacker. They have no inside linebackers that are impact. They got the great ones, the Darius and Preston Smith on the outside, but they don't have any impact players there. So, you know, the linebacker position, the middle linebacker position, is the heartbeat. It's the abdomen. It connects the back end to the front end. And without that, you're lost. You're two separate units. So, I mean, listen, they're always going to struggle. We saw Green Bay with the 13-3 record just get destroyed by the San Francisco 49ers. And until they address that, they can have all the great play from quarterback that they want. And they can have all the great pass rushers. It's going to be all for nothing, because when you go against other good teams, you got to be a complete football team, not just one-dimensional.
Yeah, and obviously we saw a Packers offense that was averaging over 30 points a game in the first couple of weeks of the season be held to 10, and Aaron Rodgers feels like they actually needed this.
I feel like we needed a little bit of a wake-up call at some point this season because things have been so good, and there's been so much talk maybe outside the building about the ease with which we're, you know, moving the ball on offense and scoring. You know, I think we need a kind of a kick in the ass a little bit as a little bit of a wake-up to stop feeling ourselves so much and get back to the things that got us this position.
I'll take that attitude from him, but obviously there's a lot of concern. Bart mentioned it on the defensive side, but that offense was anemic, and it really turned on two picks. One was a pick six, not a great throw. The other one was a tip that ended up into another interception, and Tom Brady took advantage of that. They scored, and that game never was the same. Another game that caught our attention was Denver going into New England and pulling out a win. They were up in that game. It finished 18-12. That game was 18-3 after three quarters. Cam Newton did not, like, nobody played well, though, by the way. It was really a kicker's game. Cam Newton was 17-25, 157 yards, no touchdown, two picks, as the Broncos got three turnovers from New England, which obviously with COVID, they've had some issues with practice. And Cam said after the game, this lack of practice was the biggest issue for his team.
I know exactly, you know, what it is. It's just respectfully for the sake of where we are right now. You know, I don't think it's beneficial for me to speak on that, being obviously the performance today. You know, it showed a lot of the time off showed, but yet, you know, like I said, I have to be better, and I will be better.
He says that. Now, the Patriots are 2-3, as we mentioned with Rex, and Rex did not jump all over that. You see how he kind of like went away from that when I asked him about it. It's the first time that the Patriots are under 500 this late into the season, 5 weeks since 2002, Bart. Are you kidding me? And that was they were 3-4 at one point later in the season, obviously. But this is the latest they've gone since 2002.
But then they win the Super Bowl that year when
they finished 9-7 in 2002, and they it's the last time they did not get at least 10 wins.
Okay, gotcha.
So what the hell, man?
Like, so it's just a chance. Then they'll beat Buffalo, and then we'll be like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, yeah. But Cam does make a point. They've been through a lot with the positive tests. Obviously, he missed time. And then the Patriots have
Gilmore.
Yeah, the Patriots had to close down the facility and open it again. It's been crazy for them, but no excuses. But still, to have the Broncos walk in there and just do what they did in New England, you're not used to seeing that. All right, I mentioned it earlier. We do have a World Series matchup now. The Dodgers survive down 3-1 in their series with Atlanta. They roar back. They win Game 7 yesterday, and now they move on to the World Series against the Rays. I told you the stat. The last team to lead the majors in home runs and reach the World Series was the 09 Yankees. It's been a while. The Dodgers are that team. And Dave Roberts said after the game, this is our year. And he talks about what it meant.
To see where we came, and I preface this by saying the job's not done, and we all understand that. But I think that, to start with pandemic and a lot of things going on, and guys not with their families, and all the social injustice, it's been a lot of sacrifices from guys. And guys are uncomfortable, but still to kind of buy into the Dodgers and what we're doing to win baseball games and to make such a difficult year in some instances positive and a championship year for the Los Angeles Dodgers, the city of Los Angeles. So had our backs against the walls and had to win three games in a row against a very good ball club. And so there's a lot of things that had to happen, and we did it. So I don't know. It was just a kind of all came together, and I was just really happy for our guys.
A couple of weeks after the Lakers win a championship, now the Dodgers could win one for L.A. as well. But Bart, would you say the Dodgers, there's so much pressure on them? This is almost must win for them, isn't it? And the Rays, it feels like house money.
Yeah, because look at them. Like, outside of the Yankees and some of the other teams, they have to have one of the heftiest, salaries in all of sports and all of baseball, especially what they just did with Mookie. You know what I mean? And this, once again, lets Kershaw off. Can you imagine now that they're going to face face. You talk about the type of pitching that they're about to face going against the Tampa Bay, you know, the Rays. You know, I mean, this is a totally different thing. And this is like David versus Goliath as far as, you know, the salaries, you know. So this is going to be interesting. This is going to be the tails. This is going to mean a lot moving forward with how baseball and people, you know, build their teams, not with money, but with analytics and with, you know, the right pieces that fit, you know, the gaps and the holes that you have in your lineup and on your roster.
It's going to be something to watch. It's basically pitching versus hitting, although, of course, the Dodgers do have some pitching, but and there's so much pressure on the Dodgers to win it all. It's been long enough that they keep winning divisions. They keep being that best team in baseball during the regular season. Cannot get it done. This is their opportunity, certainly one to watch. All right, last but not least, Doc Emmerich, it was only a couple of weeks ago, in his 22nd Stanley Cup final that he has called, and it will be the last, and the Lightning winning the Cup, and here's what it sounded like.
Scramble in front, around behind now, taken along by Radulov. Got it on back to the point, and another shot is blocked back down. They hustle back for it, and trying to get there, and to get a trigger pull of a shot that went wide that time was Goodrow. And the Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup.
One of the greats of all time, 22 Stanley Cup finals that he has called, 8 sports Emmys for play-by-play, 15 years for NBC Sports, several others for other networks as well, including ABC and Fox, CBS, 6 Olympics, 21 seasons with the Devils calling all of their championship seasons as well, a Hockey Hall of Famer. One of the great announcers in the history of the game, and his career comes to an end. A guy who had, and most of the greats do, his own unique way of calling the sport with different ways. One of my favorites, like people were saying this on Twitter, is what are your favorite verbs that Doc would use to describe the sport? Waffle boarded, ladled. You know, big drive, like stuff like that, like that. Like Doc had his unique way to call a game. But something that you also hear a lot about the greats is, and I covered hockey for about 7 years, and I did a lot of Devils games because I was around the Devils a lot when they were winning cups. And Doc was one of the most approachable people you could ever, for a superstar broadcaster. Incredibly approachable, incredibly humble. Just a wonderful guy to talk hockey with. He loved talking, telling stories and relaying stories. And it was just, it really was amazing that you could just walk up to a guy like that, talk to him like he was a friend, and then see him on such a big stage calling some of the biggest games in the sport. A legend, called it a career. It was time. And we congratulate him on his career. And that is Audio Files. Thank you, Bart. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, J-Dub. Yeah. The only thing we were missing was a little bit of hoop, right? But we got the draft coming up pretty soon. You know that. NBA draft's coming soon, so we got more to get into in that stuff. By the way, wanted to point out that Linda from Manalapan, she was correct on the SNY quote.
And who was it?
But it was... Frank Gore.
Rockwalla.
It has been a day for the Jets, no question about it. But we do have more football today, as we have a doubleheader again, Chiefs and the Bills. Is a 5 o'clock start, a very bizarre Monday start up in rainy Buffalo, which should be interesting for the Chiefs, of course. So that's a game to keep an eye on.
And
then you have
the dark. That's going to be crazy playing into the dark. It's going to be light, and it's going to turn into the dark. So you talk about receivers not being able to track balls because the lights come on, or the lights may be on early. So you throw the balls up high. Not only do you have to compete with the sun potentially, but you have to compete while it's raining.
But
you got to compete with the lights being on early because you have to turn those things early.
It's a weird start. Isn't it five like the weirdest start?
It's the weirdest time, especially here. Now, if this was the left coast, that'd be different. But the fact that it's here, now you're going to talk about shadows and stuff like that. You talk about balls coming and not really being able to see the balls. So that's an added advantage.
Crazy. You also have Cardinals and the Cowboys. That's the typical game. And that's, if you're a Giants fan, you're kind of watching that game, aren't you? Of course, Anthony won't because he doesn't care. He hates everything. He's miserable at 1-5. How'd you like life at 0-6? Just saying.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.